Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How many can give the Lord a hand clap this morning? Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm so happy to be with you this morning, church. I'm hardly not here on Sunday mornings. I am teaching my Sunday school class in Spanish while you all are worshiping here. So every time I come, I'm just so blessed and honored to be with you. And it's so wonderful to see many of you that I may not see during the day or in the afternoon service. So God bless you. And I'm excited just to worship with you. What a beautiful time of worship. The Lord just ministers to our lives, and we are so grateful for what God is doing. Praise the Lord. I just want to tell the church that you may or may not know, but this past week, our brother Mike Santos has gone to be in the presence of the Lord. He would visit us and be with us and worship with us, and he has gone to be in the Lord's presence. But today his son Chris is here, so we just want to tell Chris that we're praying for you. If you could just raise your hand, Chris. God bless you, Chris. Your boys, and we just want to say, and Miguelina also, we're praying for comfort and strength during this time. Thank you for being with us this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And just like Sister Ruth said, we are so happy to see Justin, right? He's not here right now, but he went down. We're happy. Oh, there he is. We're happy to see Justin. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's looking good. He's looking sharp. Hoorah, like a Marine. Praise the Lord. We're so proud of him. So proud of him and what God is doing in his life. Hallelujah. I know Brandon's happy and Suma and the family that he is with us. Praise God. This morning, I'm very happy. It's my honor and privilege to share the word with you this morning. Praise the Lord. And we're going to be speaking under the theme Chosen. And I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet and let's open up our Bibles to the book of John chapter 15. Praise the Lord. John chapter 15, verse 16. I love John chapter 15, one of my favorite chapters. And it's... I pray that the Lord would speak to us and remind us of a few things this morning. Remind us that we are chosen, praise God. Let us read the verse and then we'll pray. And it says, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, John chapter 15, verse 16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your presence in the name of Jesus, just thanking you, Lord, for this time. Thanking you, Lord, for this moment, Lord God, that you give us, Lord, to gather in this place, Lord. We thank you for our time of worship. We thank you, God, Holy Spirit, for ministering to our lives, Lord, encouraging our souls, God, as we give you praise and glory and honor, Lord. I pray that in these minutes, Lord, we open, Lord, the eyes of our understanding, our hearts and our minds to receive your word, that it would encourage us, that it would challenge us, Lord God, that we would receive it, Lord God, and that we would put it into practice, that we may not just be hearers of the word, Father, but doers of the word. I pray, Father, that you just speak in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. So under the theme Chosen, and I'm going to focus on the first part of this verse this morning, where it says, and I encourage you to keep your Bibles open to John chapter 15, as we will be going through the chapter a little bit. But verse 16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you may go and bear fruit, fruit that would last." And I want to share with the church this morning that each and every one of you, at the sound of my voice, has been chosen. Chosen to bear fruit. Chosen to serve God. The fact that you have given your life to him, the fact that you choose to follow him and live for him, God sees you and God knows you. And I want to tell you this morning that you don't have to doubt. God has chosen you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We should not think that we are not enough. We should not think that we cannot do the things that God calls us to do, because in his name and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do what God has called us to do. We can live this life of godliness. We can live this Christian journey because we have been chosen. I don't know if you can relate with me, but I remember being a little girl in school. And you know when they would take us out to play a sport, like dodgeball, right? So what would they do? They named two captains of the team, Captain A and Captain B, right? Then all the students would be around. And then the captain started calling name by name who they wanted on their team, right? I want Julio, the next captain. I want Anna, the next captain. I want John, and so on and so on. They called the student's name. Now, the worst thing was when you saw everybody else being chosen for the team, and you were not chosen. And then you're standing there, and the group got smaller and smaller. And then you start seeing many of the people being chosen before you by the captains, right? And the worst part was when there's two people left, and they call that last name, and then there's that one person standing. And they had to just go on to the other team. Not because they were chosen, but because that's the way it was. You're the last person, then you just go to the other team. And that person feels so bad, right? And you feel so horrible. I don't think schools do that. I know in our school we don't do that anymore. because you think, nobody chose me. Nobody wanted me part of their team. Sometimes in life we think the same thing. We think this way. We think that nobody has chosen us. Our parents and our families, yes, they love us, but they didn't really choose us. We were born into the family that we were born into, right? Sometimes we feel outside the group, or we feel that we don't belong, and we do what we have to do to be accepted. But in our insides, we think and we're afraid, if they knew who I really was, they just wouldn't love me. But today I want to share with you that you have been chosen. In the verse that we read, if you follow with me on that verse 16, you're going to see three observations we can make. And the observations are this. Number one is that you are chosen. The second one is that you are chosen to bear fruit. And the third one is that you are chosen to bear fruit that will last, fruit that remains. So in talking about being chosen, I love that the verse says, the Bible, it clearly says, the Lord clearly speaking to his disciples in this moment, he tells them that they didn't choose him, but that the Lord chose them. Isn't that beautiful? He chose us. Jesus, knowing us completely, knowing what people see and what people don't see, and he still chooses us. Hallelujah. Even before we knew him, even before we could love him, he chose us. And isn't it nice to know that we didn't have to do anything to be chosen? We didn't have to be the strongest. We didn't have to be the most popular. We didn't have to be the smartest or the funniest or the most talented. We didn't have to pay anything, but it was simply because he loved us. Simply because he loves us, he chooses us. And that was very important for his disciples to hear at that time, because the custom of the day, the custom of this time was that the disciple would choose the rabbi under which they wanted to learn. It was the disciple looking for the rabbi and deciding which rabbi would become their mentor or their teacher. The greater the rabbi, the more students sought after him. But Jesus, however, tells his disciples, you didn't choose me, I chose you. And it would have been a great honor, right, to sit under a great rabbi. So you would think that Jesus would choose the brightest and the best to sit under him and be his disciples. But we would be wrong. Because the disciples of Jesus Christ were not always the quickest to learn. Instead, the Gospels presents them to us as sometimes being weak in their faith. The Gospels tells us they sometimes doubted. They denied. Some, like Peter, James, and John, would go on to be prominent, but even they at times would deviate off their course. one of his disciples would even betray Jesus Christ. So we wonder, what was Jesus thinking when he chose this ordinary group of disciples? And yet, history shows us that the growth of the first century church tells us that Jesus chose well. And he strengthened them well. And the disciples would go on to do great things. Not because they were great, but the one who chose them and the one who called them was great. Hallelujah. There is an important lesson here for us. God chooses who God chooses. God empowers who God empowers. When God spoke to Moses from the burning bush, and he calls Moses to the task of freeing his people, Moses says to God in Exodus 3, "Who am I to go to Pharaoh and get the Israelites out of Egypt?" He says, "Who am I?" And God says, "I will be with you." Isn't that awesome? When God calls Jeremiah, the prophet, Jeremiah says, "But I'm so young to do the task that you've given me." When God speaks to Amos, the prophet, Amos says, "Me, the prophet? Nobody in my household has ever been a prophet." When God calls Peter to be a fisher of men, Peter says, "Get away from me because I am a sinful man." And Jesus says, "I will make you a fisher of men." When Isaiah receives his calling, Isaiah says, "Woe to me, I am a man of unclean lips." When God calls out and reaches out for David, he was merely a shepherd of sheep. But that same man would defeat Goliath one day. When God calls us, we must remember this great truth. It is only by his purpose and by his grace, nothing else. There is nothing enough in us to be worthy of being chosen. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1, "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong." Most of God's work, is done by ordinary people that are only distinguished by one characteristic, that they gave their heart to God. That encourages me. I don't know about you. That encourages me. That the one characteristic that all these people share is that they gave their heart to God. It wasn't no super faith people or called divinely appointed in some. It was somebody who said, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you," and that said yes to the Lord, knowing that they were not worthy. But yet, in God's love, He chose them, and he chooses us. Hallelujah. So that encourages us. And it should also make us slow to judge the potential of any person. It should make us slow to judge anyone. Listen, the star athlete or the best student may be too full of themselves to be of any good for heaven. The person who seems to have the least to offer could be the person that God chooses to change the world. Praise the Lord. God chooses whom God chooses. In church, if you're hearing this, it's because God chose you. God chooses you, not because of your personality, not because of your talents, not because of your intelligence. He chooses you because he loves you. Praise the Lord. Maybe you feel that you've been overlooked. Maybe you feel that nobody sees me. Nobody understands me. Maybe you feel on the outskirts of things, far away. And maybe sometimes it feels that God himself doesn't see me. But we need to change that mindset. We need to replace that with the truth of God. Maybe there have been people who've overlooked us. Maybe there have been people who've pushed us to the side. But we need to change our thought patterns and know what God says, because the enemy will use those thoughts to try and distract you and discourage you. But who cares what so-and-so said and what this person said, or even the person who was supposed to encourage me didn't encourage me? Listen, I need to go to the Word. And the Bible tells me that in Ephesians 1, he says, for he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Before mom ever met dad, before they fell in love, before you were here, before the sun shone, before the earth was made, God chose us. And if you got to put your name in that verse, put your name in that verse. God chose Becky in Christ before the foundation of the earth. Praise the Lord. God chose you. He knows you and he chooses you because he loves you. How many can say amen? Praise the Lord. We are chosen. We are chosen. But the verse goes on to say, verse 16, if you follow me, it says that we are chosen to bear fruit. There is a purpose. We are chosen to bear fruit. Now, the first part of chapter 15 tells us about Jesus. And it tells us that he is the true vine. And it says that Jesus is the true vine and his Father is the gardener. And we read that it is necessary to bear fruit. And the way that we bear this fruit is to remain in him. The chapter reminds us that separated from him, we can do nothing. So I love it, though, that the verse says that we read, it's interesting that it says, and I have set you to go and bear fruit. It doesn't say to go and do works. That's interesting, right? Works and fruit are contrasted in a very interesting way in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, the end of that chapter, talks to us about the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh, right? So everything that a man does or in his nature, in his power, are works. And even in the case of believers, sometimes we do things that are works because they are the result of what our own efforts and our own natural talents. Everybody has talents and something that they can do, right? So these works are the works like of someone who manufactures something, that they show their skill, but they don't reveal the character of the person. For example, you can't know the character of a person who makes a piece of furniture. We have a beautiful piece of furniture, so carved, intricately made, beautiful chair or table or whatever it is. We might say of the person who made it, wow, they're a gifted person. They're a talented worker. But we can't say that he's a wise, good, or righteous person. So outwardly, we only know of his works. But the fruit, on the other hand, is a spontaneous, natural manifestation of the inner life. Amen? So the soul that has the life and love of Christ produces fruit. When fruit is evident, it is the sign of a heart that is at peace with God. When fruit is evident, it is a sign of a heart full of the love of Christ. And when fruit is evident, we see a person that is directed by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's when we know that fruit is present. It is fruit that God calls us to produce or to bear, not works. Because fruit is the free will offering of a heart of love. And it begins where? It begins with the vine, the true vine. Everything begins with Christ. He is the true vine, right? And we must remain in him. He chose us. You are chosen. I am chosen. We are chosen to bear fruit. If it was works that he wanted, he could order Christians to do them, do this, do that, without worrying about them or any person in particular. But to produce fruit, his sap must flow. His power must flow. The personal influence of Christ must reach to the smallest twig, to the humblest person. The power of God must flow in order to produce fruit. We are chosen to bear fruit. Now you might be asking, okay, what is this fruit? Like I said in Galatians chapter 5, we can read the list, right? Not the fruits, it's not plurals. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and I love that last one, self-control, hallelujah. In another version, it may say temperance, praise God. And this list is everything that is against the destructive works of the flesh. And the fruit, we can also find it in chapter 15. The verses right before what I read, verse 10, says obedience to the commandments of Jesus. That's bearing fruit. Experiencing the joy of Jesus. We read that in verse 11. In verse 12, love for one another. In verse 16, giving witness to the world. This is also bearing fruit. When do we bear this fruit? When is it that we are called to bear this fruit? At all times. In every circumstance, whether we be in blessing or in trial, in difficulty or in pain, whether we be at peace or we be at conflict, the call of the believer, the call of the chosen is to bear fruit, to bear love, peace, kindness, gentleness. My circumstance doesn't dictate how I'm going to react. My reaction is because we have the fruit of the Spirit, and my job is to bear that fruit in every circumstance. Maybe you're looking for your purpose in Christ. The reason why He chose you. God has chosen us to bear fruit. Doesn't matter where I come from, how I was raised, what I was taught. Doesn't matter if I have this personality or that personality. Listen, God loves us the way we are, but He wants to make us more like Christ every single day. And that means that when we're connected to the vine, no matter in hardships and difficulties, we need to bear fruit. Love, peace, joy, wherever you are, at church, at home, at school, at work. Bearing fruit is the reason why we were chosen. We can demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit in our everyday living, in all circumstances. Listen, we need to change our default settings. You know how we have default settings on the computer? You turn it on, this is what happens. We need to say, Lord, I need to change my default setting. That if something, I get some bad news, my default setting is what? Panic. Oh my God, what am I going to do? The world is falling. We need to change that. If someone says something that's contrary to our belief or contrary to what we say or not part of our plan, default setting, anger. If someone says something or doesn't that annoys us to no end, default setting, harshness instead of gentleness. We need to change our default settings. And that is changed when we are connected to the vine, when we are connected to Christ, that all our responses in our everyday living reflect the love of Christ. Listen, what a witness we can bear. What a witness we can be to God if we just simply allow those around us to see that no matter what life brings to me, that no matter what happens in my circumstances, I can bear fruit that honors and glorifies the Lord. People want crazy strategies out there. There's books. Oh my goodness, step one, two, evangelize here, do this. And I'm not against those things. I think they're inspired. I think they're awesome. I think they're wonderful. But listen, there's nothing more powerful than when there is a believer and something comes your way and you bear fruit. That in your life there's peace, gentleness, kindness, a word of gentleness, a word of love instead of harshness. That is a powerful witness for the Lord. How many say amen? So according to this verse, we have spoken about the fact that we are chosen, that God chooses us. I love the song, the first song we sang when Amber was singing, right? God chooses us, and there is a place for me in my Father's house. He chooses you because He loves you. Then He chooses us so that we can bear fruit, so that we can shine for Him and be a witness for Him. But I love that the verse, if you look at it, continues to say, we are chosen to bear fruit that lasts, or fruit that remains, whatever your version says in the Bible. So we understand that we are chosen. We understand that we are to bear fruit. But we have a call and we have a commission. What is it? It is the same for us as it was for those first disciples. It declares that we are to bear this fruit, and this fruit is different than any other fruit. This fruit is known. This fruit is distinguished because it is a lasting fruit. Fruit that remains. Now, isn't that strange when you come to think about it? What kind of fruit do you know that lasts? Try putting an orange or a banana in a lunchbox and forgetting about it for a month or two. When you open that lunchbox, that is not a fruit that you are going to want to eat. Fruit that lasts long is not usually a characteristic of common fruit, right? Fruit does not naturally remain. It does not naturally last. Fruit eventually rots. So, if the fruit that God has commissioned us to carry is a lasting fruit, then it's not a natural fruit. It is supernatural. Hallelujah. So what does that tell us? That the fruit that will last, that each and every one of us has been designated to bear, is a fruit that God produces through the Holy Spirit in us. It is not produced by me. It is not produced in us. How is this fruit lasting? Look at the Bible, and it says John chapter 15, verse 4. It says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain on the vine, nor can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." Jesus tells us that we cannot really bear this fruit from our own resources. It has to come from the Holy Spirit working in us. It has to come. It can't be produced by my talents, by my gifting, by my titles, by my position, by my money. It can't be produced by any of that. Lasting fruit only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives when we are connected to the vine, close to Christ. But too often, our response to hearing this, bear fruit, is automatically we take things into our own hands and we become super busy. We use our own abilities and our own talents to seek to generate this fruit. But the thing is, however good the results may seem by me and my busyness and all my works, the reality is that at the best case, these attempts are just a poor result of only what God can produce. The results are a poor result compared to what God can do. We must remain on the vine to bear this fruit that lasts, because only the eternal can produce the eternal, not us, not this humanity. So what is our role? Our role is what? Remain in Him. And while we do this, we renounce our independence and we submit our will to His will. From one moment to the next, from one day to the next, we make it possible for God to work through us, and this fruit would be produced, and a fruit that will last. We see the example of the grape, right? The fruit of the vine. It's not produced by the independent effort of the branch. The branch is not like, let me try and get this grape to come out. Let me try and bud, you know? No, the branch remains connected to the vine. And when it remains connected to the vine, it inevitably will bear fruit. Hallelujah. Because it's still part of the vine. It is the same thing with us. We do not have to work to produce fruit that will last in our lives. We cannot do it by our own efforts or our own abilities. We simply, and not so simply sometimes, but we simply have to remain in the vine. We have to remain in Christ. We have to put ourselves at God's disposal. A lot of people want change in their lives. A lot of people want transformation. Lord, what's happening? I need to change. I need to do better. And then, you know, we buy our self-help books. We get those podcasts. We listen to the greatest preachers of the land, right? Lord, I need to change. I need to change. Listen, when you are connected with Christ, you're going to bear fruit. Where there was no love, there will be love. Where there was war, now you have peace. Where there was harshness, gentleness. There will be kindness. There will be self-control. Because there's no other, inevitably, it's what happens when we're connected to the vine. We produce fruit. What does remaining mean? Another version says abide. What does abiding in Christ mean? What does remaining mean? Let me tell you. There's no great mystery in it. People, you know, we are anxious to hear the next great thing. That next great thing that's going to capture us and wow us and be like, oh man, that was good. That was good. Let me tell you something. It doesn't change. To remain in Christ, it simply means to pray. Speak to him. We're quick to talk to everybody else on the planet, right? But we're not quick to go to Christ. Let him know. Talk to him. Know the word. Know, not only simply hear the word. Know the word. Not just simply hear the word and know the word. Understand the word. Not simply hear the word, know the word, understand the word. Live the word. Put it into practice. Apply it to our lives. Fellowship and gather with other people like-minded so that we can go forward together and have our light shine. That is remaining in Christ, knowing him and having him love us, because he already does know us. But the problem is that instead of remaining in Christ, many of us are content with making occasional visits. We're not remaining. We're making occasional visits. And our plan is to make God work on our agenda. Well, we want God to bless our plan, and we insist on maintaining our own independence and our own ambitions and my own plans and my own dreams and my own road. We are very interested in having God bless our plans and bless our wishes and bless our desires. But the concept of us submitting to his will and being obedient to his word is not something that we're used to doing. So we don't grow. We don't progress. We don't bear fruit, because it takes a dying to self to live for Christ. That Greek word, that the word there, remain, is called meno, M-E-N-O. And that remain, abide in him, it translates and gives the meaning to be continuously present. It's translated to mean to stay. It indicates a permanence in submission, not in a casual or an occasional way. Not if I'm interested. Or when I need. Because when we need, we're here. We're, God, I need to hear you. The word remain implies a fact that it requires a level of responsibility. A responsibility for you and for me. We need to learn to develop a relationship with Christ as Christ had with the Father, where he would pray and share and talk and be present. We also need that relationship. We need to remain with Christ. Be with Christ and be available, because then we will bear fruit. Not just any fruit, but fruit that will last. Glory to God. Staying in Christ, focusing on Christ, must be our central desire, must be the conviction of the heart. And you might say, Becky, it's that life gets crazy. Listen, I know we get busy. This is my last Sunday before I go back to work. And then September and October for me are chaos, madness. I'm tired. I'm dreading it. Pray for me. Listen, I love my job. I do. I love my job. I tell everybody, teaching for me is an extent, is my calling. Whether it's in the church or secular or wherever, that is my calling. I love to teach. But September and October are hard. And then I'm saying to you, whatever your hardships is or whatever your life looks like, whatever your busy schedule is, your comings and your goings, and then you hear on Sunday, the pursuit of Christ, being in Christ, must be our central focus. And we ask ourselves, well, how do we do this? Listen, in everything that we need to, it's like when I've used this illustration before, when we work out. We got to lift those weights. We got to do it. We got to get new habits. When you wake up in the morning, the first thought in your mind should not be a cup of coffee. It should be thanking God. That alone is a challenge. Don't lie. You know it's true. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you, God. When we eat, we're thanking God for our food. Thank you, God, because I got to work safe. Lord, accompany me into my office, into my cubicle, on this phone call, into the classroom. If I'm taking a class, if I'm going to school with my friends, thank you, Lord. It's a continuous having a presence of knowing that I am not alone, but God is with me. Lord, this is a new morning and a new opportunity. Lord, that I may make the most of it each and every day. Hallelujah. And this will produce lasting fruit in our life. Hallelujah. Staying focused on Christ, He being our central desire. God has called us for this purpose, to produce fruit, to bear fruit, and lasting fruit, supernatural fruit. Because when we do that, something happens. The verses tell us in chapter 15, it brings glory to the Father. It brings glory to God. Not glory to me, not glory to our church, not glory to your family, not glory to your name. It brings glory to the Father. And that is our purpose. Maybe you think it's too difficult to constantly produce fruit. Or the idea of producing so much fruit frightens us when we hear this. And we start thinking, well, what else can I do? What else can I do? Maybe it's because we're thinking of works and not fruit. But when we stay together in the vine, we naturally produce it. When we remain and abide in Christ, when at one time something happened would produce immediate anger, now is patience. At one time, I was so harsh, but now I can be gentle. At one time, the circumstances of life or my emotions overwhelm me, but now I can have self-control. I can have self-control in Christ. If we choose to submit to the process and to stay connected to the vine, we will bear fruit. And verse 8 of chapter 15 says this: the result, like I said, is that my Father would be glorified, that they bear much fruit and show to be my disciples. How will the world know who you are? By the fruit that you bear. How will the world know who you are? Not so much how we dress or how we look. We all look different ways. We all speak different languages. We all come from different places. How will the world know who you are? By the fruit that you bear. You are chosen. You are chosen to bear fruit, and you are chosen to bear fruit that remains. And we will glorify the Father. Church, you were chosen this morning. I'm going to invite the musicians to come forward and the team. And as they make their way up, I just want you to think. And I want you to say, Lord, where in my life do I need to bear fruit? How can I remain in you? How can I abide? I need more love. I need gentleness. I need peace. Listen, we all do, each and every one of us. I want to be different. I want to let my light shine to a dying world. Lord, change my default settings. Just because my grandfather and my father were this certain way doesn't mean I have to be a certain way. Because I have a heavenly Father. I can change my default settings. I can speak differently. I can live differently. I can love differently. Because we are connected to the vine and his power flows in us. Hallelujah. Our life doesn't have to be a life of war, but a life of peace. We don't have to automatically default to panic. God is there with us. We need to pray and ask God to help us to bear this fruit. Holy Spirit, in every situation. Why? Why? So that I may glorify the Father. So that the world would see God in me. Because me by myself and my nature, there's no way. But Christ in us. Christ in us. He gives us the power. The Holy Spirit empowers us to bear fruit. We are chosen. We are chosen to bear fruit. And we are chosen to bear fruit that will last. Listen, you don't have to do this alone. We're not called to do this by ourselves. The Holy Spirit of God is here. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Let's close our eyes as the musicians play. The Holy Spirit of God is in this place. Don't feel like it's an overwhelming task. The Father is here. The Father is here. The Holy Spirit is here to empower you. The Holy Spirit is here to help you bear the fruit that we need to bear so that what we do, we may glorify the Father. Sometimes we are so me-centered. Lord, that I would be okay, that mine would be okay, that I can get ahead, that I... No, it is so that the Father... God the Father would be glorified in each and every one of our lives, in good and in bad. Let me tell you something. Sometimes people are disappointed in prayer and disappointed in God. And they pray, Lord, get me out of this. Lord, remove this sickness. Lord, remove this. Listen, when my mom got sick with her stage 4 metastatic breast cancer, listen, I wanted God to heal her. I wanted him to heal her, and I know that he can. If he so says, but he hasn't, but he's sustaining. So what do I pray? I said, God, that we will bear fruit in this difficulty. Because some people said, what? She's not here. I'm out. God doesn't love me. But what we need to pray is, God, that we will bear fruit. That we will bear fruit in this difficult circumstance. That we would glorify God no matter what. Come what may, that I would stand firm. Come what may, that I would glorify the Father. That his will be done and not ours, just like Jesus said. And to do that may seem like an impossibly hard task. And on your own, yes, it is. But with the Holy Spirit, with God the Father, in the love of Christ, all things are possible. And the Bible says... that we need to remain in him so that we can bear this fruit. So in the midst of the circumstance, and I'm not saying that God can't. He absolutely can. But what if he doesn't? Where are we? What if he doesn't? Where are we? That I would remain faithful. The pastor says it time and time again. We only have one job. What is that job? Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Bear fruit, endure, walk forward, because we will gain the victory in him. Hallelujah. So when we pray, Lord, my desire is to abide, my desire is to remain, my desire is to bear fruit. What is the verse says? Whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give to you. Hallelujah. The Father is here. The power of the Holy Spirit is in this place. Sister Ruth says it's a new season. It's a new season. It's a new walk. There are new endeavors. Whether it's a new job or a new class or new school, whether it's college or the military, it's a new season. A new relationship. A better marriage. A healthier family. My mind, my heart, my children. The Holy Spirit is here. And he will empower you to bear fruit. The altar is open while the team prays and sings. We will pray. If you need the Holy Spirit, If you say in this new season, Father, I want to bear good fruit. I want to bear much fruit. I want to bear lasting fruit. I want to glorify you, Father. For yours is the glory and the honor forever and ever and ever. Father God, I need the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to bear fruit. I want to remain in you, Jesus. If you need that encouragement, the altar is open. God bless you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.